Sure. That is an encouragement to me. It's a challenge to me, and I hope that I can be an encouragement and a challenge to you. We're going to look at three little words that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and I want to say concerning the reality of the human condition and our perception of it. And in John chapter 4, right in the middle of an awesome picture of soul winning that the Lord Jesus Christ did with this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, we read these verses. In verse number 31 and following, "In the meanwhile his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." And this is the verse we're going to focus on for a few moments. "Say not ye, there are yet," that's our first word, "there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look." That's our second word, "on the fields, for they are white," and our last word, "already to harvest." Yet, look, and already. "And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you, Lord, so much for this privilege and the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. I thank you, Lord, for the folks of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I thank you for their desire to reach not only this city, Lord, with the gospel and their surrounding area and their state and their and our country, but also reaching into the uttermost parts of the world financially and physically, God. And yet, Lord, with all of that, there's still so much work to do. And I just pray tonight as we take these few moments, dear God, that you'd hide me behind the cross, that you'd have me say only those words that you'd have me to say, that you'd work through your word in each one of our hearts and lives, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. And I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Ahead of the storm. Ahead of the storm is what I titled this message. And when I look at this first word, there are yet 4 months. When I see that word yet, it makes me think of the word procrastination. Procrastination. The Lord was encouraging and challenging his disciples to prevent procrastination. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months. If there is anything that Satan can get us to do as born-again Christians that will sideline our ministry now and in the future is to get us to buy into the word tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll go on my first missions trip. Tomorrow I'll give a gospel tract to that lady at the bank. Tomorrow I'll go invite my neighbor across the fence to come to our Christmas program. And you could fill in the blanks. If Satan can convince us, it's kind of like the old classic sign, free coffee tomorrow. And you come back tomorrow, and guess what the sign still says? Free coffee tomorrow, and so on and so forth. Procrastination will kill the areas of our life where the Lord wants to do the most work. And whether that's sharing the gospel, whether that's with our finances, whether that's with our health, no matter what area of our life is, that we know we need to do something. If we say, and guess, right, this is why he said it this way, I've got time. I'll get to it. I've got time. I often called myself Pastor Morbidity when I was the youth pastor at Wildwood for 8 years because I would share stories of how people died. I'd be watching news stories, and it would be those things that were a surprise, that were uncommon. And the reason I would do that is I would tell the teens, all of you have a Superman complex, meaning that, because I was there, when you're a teenager, you feel like, hey, I'm going to live forever, I can do whatever I want, I mean, as far as relatively speaking. And the problem is, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. We don't know if we have tomorrow. What? Know ye not that your life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then what? Vanisheth away. We all like to think we're going to live to be 85 or 90 years old, but we aren't guaranteed tomorrow. And so when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it comes to evangelizing the lost, we can't say, they're yet 4 months. They're yet 4 months. What was the Samaritan woman's response? Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Verse 29. And then again, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city, in verse 39, believed on him for the saying of the woman. Do you know what? That woman, she was ready to get into action. She didn't need the Lord to tell her, say not ye, there are yet 4 months. She was ready to go. She was serious. She understood that if she could just get them to the Lord, that he would change their lives as well. I think of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Then, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. How much time do we waste in our lives? There's so much amusement that we can get sidetracked with that just draws us away. And we just get caught in it. And it may not even be necessarily, I want to say, bad, but it just catches us away. And all of a sudden, time is flowing on by. And we're wasting time. I dare say that someday, when we stand before our Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, and he reviews our life, and we look at all the opportunities we had, all the time that we wasted, it's going to be really humbling. The tragedy of life is not that it ends so soon, but that we wait so long to begin it. This isn't just that battle for souls. It's that practical daily walk. Are we putting something off to tomorrow that we should be doing today? An incident from the American Revolution illustrates what tragedy can result from procrastination. It is reported that Colonel Rawl, the commander of the British troops in Trenton, New Jersey, was playing cards when a courier brought an urgent message stating that General George Washington was crossing the Delaware. Rawl put the letter in his pocket and didn't bother to read it until his game was finished. Then, by the time he read it, realizing the seriousness of the situation, he hurriedly tried to rally his men to meet the coming attack. But his procrastination was his undoing. He and many of his men were killed, and the rest of the regiment were captured. Norbert Quayle said, only a few minutes' delay cost him his life, his honor, the liberty of his soldiers. Earth's history is strewn with the wrecks of half-finished plans and unexecuted resolutions. Tomorrow is the excuse of the lazy and the refuge of the incompetent. It can be so easy. Those words still hit me every time I read that. I have a hard time reading that because those words hit me. It reminds me, where am I procrastinating? Some area in my life where God wants me to stay moving, keep doing what he's called me to do. So number two, number one, yet, procrastination. Number two, lift up your eyes and look, observation. One of the best ways to combat procrastination is to really observe the conditions around you. Let's just take a house, for instance. Brother Dave and I don't know anything about house building. For those of you that don't know, I've got about 23 years in the trades. But there have been jobs that I have gone to where I can tell there was procrastination in an area and they waited too long. And now, I mean, a roof is one of the easiest ways to see that. There have been roofs where I've been called out to look at the roof, and the people are like, I don't know why it's leaking. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm saying, how can you not know why it's leaking? The whole top of the roof looks like a bag of potato chips. All the shingles are curled up. I can see felt all over the place. There's sometimes I can even see a little bit of raw roofing material, the roof deck. They waited too long. If they would have just taken an honest look and said, wait a minute, this roof is not looking well. I need to do something about it. Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look. Look. And sometimes we get going about our day and our head is down and we're not really focused and we're doing our thing. I had the strangest thing happen to me the night before last. I was coming out of the missions apartment that we were staying in. It was 10:30 at night. We had just finished our family devotions, and I came out the door. I was headed out to get some stuff for Kelly. And as I came out of the apartment that was six steps down, there was another person coming out of an apartment six steps up, and we were both headed to the same landing. As he's walking down the stairs, he looks at me and says, are you a minister? And I was like, wow. So we get into this discussion outside. Long story short, he is he's a religious guy, but certainly not a born-again Christian. And I was kind of on my way to go do something quick and go to bed, but the Holy Spirit pricked my heart and said, witness to this guy. He didn't get saved, but he intently listened to the whole plan of salvation. But in order to see those opportunities, we have to be looking. We have to be looking. Jesus said, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, he was talking about, I believe, the Pharisees, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. Observation is good, but it should bring us to a place of action. Observation, mine eye affecteth my heart. Why do you think we encourage you to come on these trips with us? First of all, we need the help. But second of all, we're hoping that when you come on these trips with us, not only will you be able to help us and to help the missionary, but you in turn will be encouraged. You in turn will be challenged by what you see. So when you come back here to Blessed Hope and your community, you'll have more of a heart to reach your community just like you did on the other side of the world. Observation should bring us to a place of action. In order to be ahead of the storm with reaping grain, you need to see that the fields are white, all ready to harvest. If you're going to ignore them, if you're not going to pay attention, if you're not going to look at the condition, most likely the wind, the storm, the rain is going to come. It's going to shake those stalks, and those kernels of grain are going to fall off and be lost. And the last word is already. At the end of that verse, Jesus said to them, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I see that last word as the preparation. The preparation. The word already is defined by Webster's 1828 as a state of complete preparation. A state of complete preparation. The harvest is prepared every day for us. Stay with me. The harvest is prepared every day for us. But are we prepared for the harvest? Are we prepared for the harvest? What does that mean? Are we living our lives in tune with God? Are we in our Bibles daily? When we get ready to head out the door, do we got some gospel tracts in our pocket? Do we have them in the truck or in the car? Are we prepared to witness to the lost? Are we prepared to share our faith? Are we living our faith? I have often said to my teens, I said, when you guys are getting 15, 16, 17, you're going into the workforce? Don't tell anybody that you're a Christian if you're going to live like the devil. If you're going to be sloppy at your workplace and you're going to slough off and you're going to show up late and you're not going to put in an honest day's work for an honest day's wage, if you're going to sit there around the table and laugh at all the filthy jokes that are being told, if you're going to go and watch the same garbage they watch and you're going to listen to the same garbage they listen to and you're going to act like them, don't tell them that you go to Wildwood Baptist Church. Don't tell them that you're a born-again Christian. Because you are not prepared for the harvest. You're not prepared. And we have to ask ourselves that question. You can name the name of Christ, but be living in such a way that you turn everybody off to the gospel. They say that. They say they go to church. They say they love God, but that's not what I'm seeing. If you're the first one to get your hackles up at somebody at work and they say something to you that's a little bit unkind and you fly off the handle and you go crazy, don't expect somebody to be willing to go with you to church. Are we prepared? The harvest is prepared every day for us. Are we prepared for the harvest? Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. Approved unto God. People all around you are longing for you not to fail. They are longing for someone to give them hope that this world is not all there is. They are longing for someone to show them that there is a purpose for their existence. They are longing for someone to share that blessed hope of the gospel with them before the storm hits them and they are lost forever. Where do you find yourself in the spectrum? Maybe you're a little bit in all of them. Maybe there's some procrastination. Maybe you do see some observation, but you haven't acted upon it. Or maybe you say, I'm prepared. I'm looking for that next opportunity. I just hope and pray that this has been a challenge and a blessing to you. Understand, you guys, I know you guys are a giving and a loving church and a missions-minded church, but all of us can do a little bit better. There's some area of our life where we can be challenged to do a little bit more. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. Dear Heavenly Father God, I thank you, Lord, for